Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Wow, it's so exciting that we get to have church on a day of love.
I forgot I was in the middle of doing a message. In the moment there, I was just kind of captured by you and... So happy Valentine's.
My breath was taken away.
Oh, I'm smitten.
Oh, my goodness. We're so glad to be able to be here this morning. We're going to be able to speak together to everybody.
Fun.
And there's a message that we've got for all singles and all married couples out here today. And how many of you are married in the house? How many of you are rocking it single?
Come on.
Well, we're excited. We thought we would start off a little bit today by just sharing our story of how we met. Now, there are two versions of this story, as you can imagine.
Depending on the time we have available, I'm trying to figure out, should I tell the short story or are you going to tell the story?
Well, the story will happen with me.
All right, there you have it. Then tell the story as you see it.
Well, Pastor Dave, as I see it. Right. Well, Pastor Dave and I have been married for a long time. And like everybody else, there was a time of meeting. And it kind of ties in with what we're going to speak about today. And
it's
so we
real.
Thought we would just kind of show you, first of all, a picture of our first Valentine's together. Do we have that picture up there? So we are really, there we are.
Yep, happy Valentine's.
little cheesy.
Absolutely. How many of you guys remember the double-breasted suit? Oh, yeah, come on.
I've always had big hair. Let's just say the 80s. This is 1988, and we were in love.
Still are
in love. So we met in 1988. It was spring break, and... I lived in a little town of Texas, south of Dallas, called Waxahachie. My father was a pastor there, and I lived in a small, it was a very small town, a small church, and David lived in Rockwall, Texas, and he was a part of a great church called Church on the Rock there. And thousands of people there. But we did not meet in Waxahachie or in Rockwall. We met in Texarkana, Texas, right on the edge of Texas and Arkansas. And so we were...
it's about a three-hour drive from Dallas. So.
Three-hour drive from either of us. And
yep.
Rockwall and Waxahachie were an hour away from each other. So there's no way that Pastor Dave and I would ever have met except for this one day. Destined from heaven. Now, here's what's so deal. We both are very different than when we first met. How many of you can say you've changed a lot through the years? And so...
I don't know. I think you're a lot alike. Pretty similar to how I met you.
Well, I can say that you are different.
Oh, well, there you have it.
And you'll know why. So Pastor Dave, so my father was a minister. He brought in a youth evangelist to do youth stuff at our church. And this youth evangelist, which was from Rockwall, Church on the Rock, asked me to go and do music for all of the youth crusades for him. So I led worship and did stuff in youth ministry. So I was all excited. And we just happened to do a youth crusade in Texarkana at Church on the Rock there under our pastor, Dr. Lawrence Kennedy.
Yep.
And so I was such an innocent little thing, just following the Lord.
That's true.
Just doing what he told me to do. And I went to Texarkana.
Did you flit like a butterfly? Is that what you were doing? I was trying to figure that out.
I did. And I stayed in the home of the youth pastor and his wife. And so, long story short, I was sitting in their living room reading my Bible.
It's real.
So spiritual. And I was reading the word, and all of a sudden, the door came open. There was no knock on the door. It just came open. And I'm the only one sitting in this living room reading my Bible. Don't forget that. And in walks David Wright. Now, I was taken back, not because not only was he good looking, you know what I'm saying? But I was taken back because there was no knock, and this stranger just came into this living room, and he was decked out with shades on.
Well, 80s style.
80s. Yeah. How many of you lived in the 80s?
Come on. Life was real. It's good.
Mullet. You know, the whole mullet thing.
Business up front, party in the back.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
His cavalry cheese and cowboy boots.
Snakeskin, no less.
And he walks in, and I was like, oh. I was just distracted from the word for just one moment.
How could it be any way else? I mean...
So then, here's the deal. He just walks in, and he just walks on into the house. And then you hear everybody go, oh, there's David, there's David, there's David. I was like, who's David? The youth evangelist came right over to me and said, beware.
Yeah, what are friends for, right?
Yeah. He said, beware of this David Wright. I said, oh, why? He is known as the Casanova of Church on the Rock. There he is. Pictures say what I'm trying to say.
Oh, I cannot debate. What can I say?
So, did you know your pastor was like this? Okay, so keep that picture up for a moment.
Or maybe not. Maybe we should just move along here a little bit.
Again, I was just in Texarkana reading the word, and Casanova flies in. I was warned by the youth pastor evangelist, and so that weekend was an interesting weekend.
They're going to never look at me the same again. I've lost all credibility at this moment.
We began to talk, and, well, let me just tell you how he even said my name or how he met me. So we're in the house. I'm reading the word. I was just warned. And then I hear, David, you have to meet Cherie. So he comes back through the living room with his shades. He never took them off. Walking with his strut and his cowboy boots. You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting on the couch with the word of God. And I will demonstrate. David, this is Cherie. Cherie, this is David. Well, I, in my womanly way, spiritual way, reach my hand out for a firm handshake. Right?
Yes, you did.
Take my hand.
Yep.
I said, hello, I'm Cherie. He kneels down. Of course, I'm sitting down, so he kneels down. He takes my hand, but he takes his shades off.
I'm working it.
And his first words to me were, nice hair, nice teeth, I like her.
All I can say is it worked. That's all I can say.
I can't believe it, but that's the honest truth. I am not exaggerating over that. But like he said, it did work. It did work later.
Now, I'm not recommending that to all the single guys.
No,
it only worked once. It will never work again. So.
So that weekend, again, we were both 3 hours from our home. I never thought I would see him again. We did talk. I did not give him my number. But 2 weeks later, I get a phone call at my dorm room when I was in college. And I hear... Well, actually, they wrote it down.
No, this is the Flintstone age. There was a payphone at the end of the hall, and there was a note.
There was a note on my door. A David Wright called, and I thought, is that the David Wright, the Casanova of Church on the Rock? Oh, my goodness. And somehow he found my number.
You went for that note. You know you did.
I will say I did get the little tingles a little bit, knowing, ooh, he called me. And so... Anyway, that was in March of 1988.
Yep.
We were engaged of October that year and got married the following June 1989. Show some of those pictures. We did some dating, and we did, look how cute David is. Isn't he awesome?
Well, thank you. Oh, you mean up there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, up there. Keep rolling those in. Because we dated. That's when we were thinner, honey.
Yep.
Woo! Check out those Bobby socks and shoes. What was that about? I don't know.
80s.
In
it's
the
all
80s. 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And so you can just keep those rolling. And it was his birthday there. And I was so giddy and in love. Now, the glasses are back, right? Glasses are back. And there we go. We thought we arrived at that point.
Had it made right there.
June 24th.
In the bag.
1989. And we just had keep those running because we want to show you the last. There we are.
Yeah, there we are.
There and God just
so that
ordained.
Was then and this is now.
26 years. So that's our story. There's a lot more details, but that gives you kind of the highlight. But we want to.
Now, I noticed what you did with that. You ran all the time out on your version of the story, and I don't have a chance to give any rebuttal at all. But you have a good story.
Yeah, yeah.
It is
yeah,
really
yeah.
true.
It was
so
awesome. So let's talk about how many of you have been married for a long, 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 long time. How many of you have been married for over 40 years? Would you stand to your feet? Stand your feet. Let's give them
Come
a
on,
hand.
Let's give these guys
40
a hand.
Years plus.
Hey, just awesome. You guys definitely deserve some credit. For the record, pass the word, long marriages are in. So, all right.
That's
if
right.
you've been married longer than 50 years, keep standing. I want to find out. We've got lists. There you have it. There we have it. Now we go.
55 years. 55.
55 years.
Woo-hoo!
All right, 56 years.
56?
57? All right, we
how
have a winner
right here.
How long
have you been married? How long have you been married?
Obi, how long is your dad? You got to think about it. Well, listen, you guys come down here because we want to give you a prize.
Come on
down here. Help, ushers, help them down here. We
let's
want
give
to
them a
honor
hand.
You
give
today.
Them a hand.
Come on, let's give these guys a big hand.
As they're giving them a hand, how many of you have been married a year or less? Would you stand to your feet? A year or less? All right, all right. Yes, yes. How about 9 months or less? 6 months? Now everybody sat down. Stand back up. What was the date of your marriage? On the 22nd of this month. And your month? May and? July. Yeah. All right. Let's give them a hand.
Come on up, you guys. We want to say happy Valentine's to you.
Long marriages are in. And then
there you go. Congratulations, you guys. You're off to a good start.
We are so excited also to just celebrate everybody. So on the way out today, everybody gets heart candy because it's Valentine's Day and we want everybody to feel special. But let's just sit down in the living room.
We've got some thoughts we want to share with everybody today because we're in this series right now. And it's all about love, sex, and dating. And today being Valentine's Day, we wanted to actually focus on the dating dimension of what we're going to be working on today. And so it's real how that God has actually put these dynamics together. And some of the things that we celebrate and really laugh about and champion together in the relational dynamics of dating really find their beginnings in the heart of God. God, the Bible we discovered last week, is actually love, and he has a lot to say about it. And we want to actually spend the next few minutes just working our way through some ideas and concepts we see in Scripture that are either directly from Scripture or we believe supported by Scripture that can provide some ideas or guidelines on how to really make the very most of dating. A lot of people misunderstand the function and the working of love because they confuse love as God is with the tingles that they feel of attraction. So we sorted through some of those things last week. Today we want to talk about the dynamics of dating. And so as we're going into this morning, I would like to just say that this is all part of us really getting a handle on love the way God designed it to work. So let's go to the Lord and ask him to guide our next few minutes by the Holy Spirit and open our understanding. Then we'll make the very most of this together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. By the work of the Holy Spirit, we're asking you would give us insight and understanding in a way that changes the way we see things, the way that we think about things, and the way we choose our way through life. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, as we begin the process of looking at concepts of dating, I want to say that a lot of people go through unnecessary pain and struggle as a direct result of misunderstanding what dating is actually all about from the perspective or the context of the way God works in our life. In fact, if you're taking notes, write this down. Most people leave God out of their approach to dating. When it comes right down to it, a lot of people just leave God completely out. They just approach it with, this person gave me the tingles, I'm going for this man, or I'm going for that woman, or whatever it is, and it's just love. And they just leave God out of it altogether. Well, as a result, they find themselves in a mess later on, because if you don't go God's way, you end up in a distorted way of living. We get this picture about the role God has in the relationships we have from Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, 22, and 23. It says this: "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone.' And all the men said, 'Amen. Amen. I'll make a helper.'" All the women said, "No joke. I'll make a..." Y'all laughed too loud at that, ladies. "I'll make a helper who is just right for him." "Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last," the man exclaimed, "this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man." Notice this, write this down. God was in the very middle of the whole discovery process.
Yes.
Don't know if you've ever connected the dots on that, but the introducing a man and a woman together in the context of romantic or love-based relationship was God's idea. And he was in the middle. He's the one that brought the two of them together. So I just want to say in the very beginning that this part of life, dating, works just like every other part of life. You have to have God in the middle of the picture for it to work right. And no matter how smart we think we are or how progressive we believe we've finally become, the bottom line is if God and his way is not right in the middle of what we're doing, we're going to go off the tracks somewhere in life. It has to go God's way. So what I wanted to do is spend a couple minutes and look at three different aspects or dimensions of dating. And I'll take one of these, and you can take a couple of them, and then we'll just see what the Lord does. So when it comes down to this, and I want to put this together for both singles and marrieds alike, because I think if you'll listen, no matter which side of the covenant you're on, if you're single or married, I believe that there's something in this for all of us today. When it comes down to it, dating is defined as being romantically involved with someone beyond normal friendship. In other words, there's a dimension that goes past friendship that begins to weave hearts together in this idea of what ultimately God designed for two people to become one. So there's this process that we go through. So let me talk to those of you that are single. Write this down. Singles, if you're dating, then I want to encourage you to date to discover the divine elements of that person. Date to discover the divine elements of that person. You're like, that's just crazy. What does that mean? I just think he's a good-looking guy, or I think she's a knockout, or whatever you want to say. But what I do want to say is that with the perspective that God is the one who designed all this together and is the one who wants to introduce a man and a woman together in the context of developing that life together, then it isn't just simply, am I attracted to you? I need to know who you are. And so once I begin to notice a person and I want to pursue that person and get to know that person more, then it shouldn't be just because I think she's gorgeous or she's attractive or he's really good looking or he's wealthy or whatever you want to look, whatever kind of floats your boat. You really want to go move past all that and say, I need to know who this person is. Who did God create that person to be? Because God created us with a purpose in mind. Mm-hmm. And once the tingles kind of wear away, you're left with the direction that person is going, and you won't be able to change them. Mm-hmm. Now, Sheree has successfully changed me in some areas, but that's a miracle.
Well, the thing is, and this is what even back through the facade, even when we were dating and we saw each other and la la la, is God has created us for a purpose, and dating, he's created really the opportunity. It's like a journey and an adventure to find someone with the same purpose, maybe not just exactly alike, like you're a preacher, I'm a preacher, you're a worship leader, I'm a worship leader. Not like that, but it's the same vein. Because God has created all of us on a mission and on purpose. And he's created our soulmate, our partner in life, to have a mission on this planet.
And you'll sense that, I believe, at least in our experience, that was actually the case. That Cherie, honestly, from day one, I have always just, she has been a knockout, a gorgeous to me in every way. She was the very first day I met her, but there was something unique about her. The truth is, the reason I was in Texarkana that weekend is because that youth group had lots of pretty girls.
I forgot to say that.
So I was
He was on a mission.
I was a youth leader in Rockwall, and technically we're there for relationships between youth ministries. But I was there because there was dozens of really pretty girls. But I'm embarrassed to say that.
It's
but
true.
It was real. So anyway, the truth is, she stood out. And the reason she stood out is because there was some divine alignment there. And she was overt. She actually was. The truth is, she was reading her Bible. She was doing all those things. And that was a part of who she was. She didn't hide that. It wasn't like something, oh yeah, I go to church. That she led with the fact, God is central to my life. And I was attracted to that. So anyway, I want to just say this. I believe one of the reasons God gives us the context of dating is to discover the divine alignment and divine elements in each other's lives. Let me just move on. Marrieds, I want to encourage you to keep dating or keep pursuing your spouse to deepen your understanding of them. Mm-hmm. Because no matter how many years we're married to one another, the reality is that there are dimensions of our husband or wife that we still don't know yet. And we won't discover unless we're intentional about it. And I believe God created it that way so that in the right way of pursuit, with God in the middle, he keeps showing us, you didn't know this about him or her. Look at this I've created for you. And it can be a divine romance,
yes,
for decades if you do it that way, all right?
That's right.
So I want to just say it's important to keep pursuing them. And
because there's layers, Dave. There's
I know.
Layers. There's roller coasters of adventure that you haven't even tapped into yet.
It's real, especially being married to you.
Yes.
It's adventure.
It's awesome. So keep that romance alive, marrieds. Keep it alive, and you have to do it on purpose, which we'll talk about in just a second. Because, again, you and your spouse are partners in life together. God sees you as one. You know, when Adam, God created woman, he took a rib. He didn't take an ankle bone or a foot bone. He took a rib. So there's equality together. Even though the man is the head, they're together. They're a team. And so find, date together, have your life mission, and go for it together. It's on purpose, and which we'll talk about. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Okay, so the next thing we're going to talk about are some guardrails in the physical aspect. The physical part. Look at somebody and say, are we going to talk about sex? Well, let me tell you, we're going to touch on it today. Talk about some physical things. Next week, Pastor Dave has a whole message on sexuality. You don't want to miss it. It is, it's going to be incredible and insightful, and you will want to be there. But I want to talk to the singles, first of all, about physical affection. First of all, we want to say, don't rush the physical. Put that down there. Don't rush the physical. So you're dating, you found somebody, and it's all of a sudden it's like, boom, you know, your hormones are going, your tingles, everything, and it's like, I've just got to kiss her. I encourage you to postpone the physical component of that relationship as long as possible. It seems to cloud things up. And if you've been in past relationships where you have given those things away too early and you're no longer in that, a part of your heart has been taken with that relationship and a soul tie has been taken as well. And so, and we'll talk about this, that the physical aspect, sex is for marriage. So you're saying, but I'm not just necessarily talking about sex. I'm talking about all the other stuff.
Well, you know, the Bible's actually clear about that.
Yeah.
When it comes right down to it, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:18, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get into this in a lot more detail next week, but the Bible is very clear when it comes to the dynamic of sexuality that if you're not in a marriage covenant, run from it. In other words, don't try to manage it or just kind of keep it in check, or don't try to, you know, just not go too far. The idea is don't even rev the motor.
Yeah. Don't rev it up, baby.
Yeah, so run from it.
Run from it. See, I've never heard somebody say, my relationship would have been so much better if we got physical faster. I usually hear we got physical on the first date and we got in trouble. So self-control now trains you for self-control later. And so people ask, where's the line? How far is too far? How far is too far? So I want to talk to you real quickly about creating boundaries. Singles, the Bible doesn't talk about how far is too far, but God does talk about being pure. There's power in purity, and purity means uncontaminated and undiluted. We can't go back and change things that we've done in our past, but we can look forward and have the mindset, I want to be pure in my relationship. I want to be clean before God. I want to be everything that I can for my future mate. Because purity declares value, it demonstrates self-control, and it protects your relationship from any physical and emotional disease. So protect who God has made you to be. Protect, don't give those things away.
That's countercultural. There's so much pressure in this area, but God's word and his guidelines are there for our benefit, not because...
Well, we're in a try before you buy culture.
Yeah, it's wrong.
It's wrong.
It's devastatingly wrong.
It's wrong. And so some people say, well, I have to know if I'm compatible in that area before we get married. Yeah. Why? What would you say to that, Pastor?
Well, remember that sexual expression is given to us by God's divine design, and it fulfills several different things in the context of a covenant marriage for the long haul. But it's so powerful in the way it works in our bodies and in our minds. If you start that dynamic before it's time, it literally distorts your perception of the person. You can't see the person because of the way those things work. So I'll get into it more next week, but it isn't just because God doesn't want anybody to have fun. He's like, I want you to have the most fun. Here's how you keep that fire in the fireplace. Don't let it out of control you know, burn your house down. There's a spot for it. When you leave it in this spot, it works. It's profoundly effective,
and it's
a blessing.
Yes. Yeah. So a practical thing, if you are dating, and we're not saying don't show affection, but like Pastor Dave says, don't just rev up the motor and you're in hot flashes all the time. You know what I'm saying? So we put a little practical thing down here that says nothing below the jawline. Why don't you write that down? Nothing below the jawline. You can show affection. You have a little kiss here and there, but, you know, making out and all that kind of stuff, it just revs things up when you're not ready for it. When God is saying, hey, wait, just savor those moments. Savor those moments. Because many of you that have had maybe issues in the physical know I need boundaries. Have accountability. Have someone in your life that says, hey, how are you guys doing? You couples, get accountability partners and help so that your marriage will be great.
I'll talk about it next week.
I know, that's going to be awesome. We're jumping in. So, but let me do a note to non-Christians. If you're not a Christian here, I wrote this down. Don't date a Christian unless you plan on becoming one. Because they want you to be one. And if they're sleeping with you now, then you're dating a hypocrite, and you know you don't like those. So if you're non-Christian in the room, don't date a non-Christian. Because they really want you to be one. So I'm really saying this to the Christians in the room. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're gonna build a relationship. You want to build it on integrity. Mm-hmm. The world works so hard to fracture relationships, and often it happens through issues of trust.
Yeah.
And so you want to build trust in the beginning, because you need that foundation of trust for the rest of your married life.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to work against God's word.
It is.
So we got to move on.
So let's talk to the Marrieds. Marrieds, relational intimacy is the goal. Please write that down. Relational intimacy is the goal. Again, Pastor Dave's going to be talking about this, but you know, we're not just saying have sex, which you need to.
We're telling Marrieds have sex.
Have sex, Marrieds. Yes. Have sex. Have it a lot, Marrieds.
There you go.
But sometimes you can have sex and it not be intimate. You know what I'm saying? So intimacy is the goal. Intimacy
is the goal.
Somebody's thinking,
my 13-year-old's in here.
This is a PG-13. That's why we have wonderful children's ministries. But our junior high need to hear this as well.
That's real.
Let me just say.
That's real.
So sexual relations, it's supposed to be fun, y'all. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be enjoyable. It's supposed to have that romance. It's supposed to be loving and caring.
But for it to be fun, you have to guard, part of the guardrail is you can't let outside stuff into it.
That's right.
So ideas from media, pornography, those kinds of, we'll talk a little bit more about this next week. But if for marriage sexuality to actually have its fullest expression and fulfillment, it has to be just the two of you guys and God. It can't have other stuff in it.
No threes and fours or fives. None of that.
Yep.
Just you and him. Now, have fun and be creative. Enjoy, create the atmosphere. Now, that's not just music, lights, candles, and all of that. That's good.
Yeah,
you need to do that.
Yeah.
Those don't hurt at all. But what I want to encourage us as marrieds is, what atmosphere are you creating in your home with your mouth?
Yep.
What words are you saying to your mates? Are they loving? Are they encouraging? Or are they critical? Because it's hard to have a moment, you know what I'm saying? If you've just been torn down, or if you've been belittled, or if you've just been, you know, guys, if you're saying, hey, when are you going to lose the 10 pounds, you know what I'm saying? Hey, let's go to the bedroom. She's going to say, I don't think so. You know what I mean? And then women, if you've just been nagging him all day long, you know, he may want a sexual release, but he doesn't want to be with you intimately because you've been nagging him all. But when you build him up, oh, baby, 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 then he will want to be with
because
you.
Because it really is about the intimacy. It isn't about biology. It's about, it's a soul-spirit connection that God wants to use to
So don't shut down those moments.
So some guardrails for that is what?
What? What did you just say?
Yeah. Guardrail for marriage. Marriage.
Oh, is have sex a lot, but build each other up and create that atmosphere.
Yep. And nothing outside the covenant.
Oh, yes, nothing outside the covenant.
So your marriage expression, sexual expression in the context of marriage is all inclusive inside the covenant. Mm-hmm. No expression outside the covenant.
That's right. That's right. And then number three, as we're closing in, is be intentional. Singles, if you are not currently dating, we want to give you just a challenge. Write this down. Resume dating in 1 year.
It sounds odd, but we're saying give yourself permission to take a year for something else and then intentionally say, I'm going to resume the dating dynamic in a year.
Now, it ties into what you spoke about last week, which is you become the person that you want to have in your life. You want this kind of a man or this kind of a girl, they're only going to be attracted to someone that they're like. So take a year. Invest in yourself by spiritually getting close to God, by being relational with friends and not just so obsessed with, I've got to have a person. By getting in shape, by getting your finances in order, by doing those things, this is the best time. You will never be more motivated than now. Because if you're looking for someone, then get the time in. Because once, and here's the deal, once you start down that road, watch. All of a sudden, you're going to see that person in that same lane, that same purpose. And it's like, whoa, here they are. And I'm going to challenge you, don't just drop this goal. But keep running and keep taking this year and investing in yourself, because if they're the right person, they will wait. If they're the right person, they will admire what you're doing and say, I'm going to do that myself.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying?
It'll inspire the relationship.
And so become that person. And many of you in the room that are single are probably saying, well, I've been doing that. I've been coming to church. I come to church. I go to life group. I do this. I do that. Where are the men in this place? Where are those godly girls? You know what I'm saying? And so we try. Sometimes we try to help God out, right? And so we'll go to other churches that have bigger singles ministries and try to find them. Or we get online dating and we try to do that. Or we go to the bars or we go to the clubs and we say, well, I just got to be where all the singles are. Now, I'm not saying that the first two suggestions are bad.
Now, I'm going to say bars are a bad idea, though.
That's the third suggestion.
Okay.
Bars and clubs, wherever you go, you will attract that type of person. If you want to live with someone that drinks and parties all the time, go to those places and you'll find them. But you'll attract, if you're in the house of the Lord and not just sitting in church looking around, but if you're serving in your purpose, you're going to find somebody that's going to serve alongside that has that purpose. And you'll find the right people when you're in the right type of atmospheres. So don't get ahead of God and try to make it happen.
You know,
online dating is not bad, David.
It's not bad, but people may be listening to us and go, well, that's easy for you to say. You're married. But the reality is this is a real development in our life.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a really big church with lots and lots, and we are hundreds and hundreds in our student ministry. Sheree was in a little tiny church way far away that I would have never crossed paths with, and her dad was so focused in ministry, he wouldn't let her visit other churches. So she was in a little tiny bubble that she could never have gotten out of. I was in an ocean, but God had a plan.
3 hours away from each other, never would have met, but God.
Yep.
And you got to trust that. God is in charge of our life, and He orders our steps, and He knows. So if you stay in the lane that God has called you to, He will bring you that person, even if you have a past. I've been divorced. I have 3 kids. God knows that, and He will bring the person right for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So develop friendships. I encourage singles, get involved in life groups, serve in the church, and get involved with people. Be a God chaser, not a human chaser. Don't go chasing guys or girls, but be a God chaser, and He will bring you what you need. So marrieds, let's be intentional on, write this down, plan dates. Plan dates. If you don't plan it, don't plan on it. Because you know why? Life is busy. Work gets in. Kids get in. And we're just going through the motions. You got to be intentional. Plan those dates. What do you want in your marriage? 5 years from now, where do you want to be? You have a mission. You have a vision. If you don't, that's your first thing. Is you and your wife need to go have a retreat. Have a retreat somewhere. Sedona is a beautiful place. Go have a retreat. Or you say, well, finances. I don't have finances. Then get creative. Do babysitting co-op and have a retreat within your home.
Yeah, and take the pets out too.
Take the pets out, especially if they sleep with you. This is a line, Pastor Davis. He's trying to talk to me right now.
Just working on a couple of angles here. I've still got a little something going on.
But your marriage... Nothing will happen unless you work for it. The grass will be green when you water it.
Yep.
If it's dying, if it's brittle, if it's dry, it's because you haven't watered it in a while. And you want to water your marriage, y'all, because the enemy's out to try to distract and destroy, and he will. He will try to do that. And if we're not doing our part, there's a bigger opportunity for him to jump in. So we put some things down here, some resources in your outline. Go to conferences. Go to marriage conferences. And they're everywhere. They're all over the place. We host some, and we haven't done it this year, but Jimmy Evans and Karen Evans, Marriage on the Rock, they're amazing. There are many resources out there. There's books, 52 Things Wives Need Their Husbands to Know, and Husbands
Outline,
Need.
Your
they're
handouts.
All in here. The God Chicks and the Men They Love, they're amazing. You got to read. You got to study. You got to work at it. Well, I told her I loved her 20 years ago. Didn't she know I needed love? I still do. Well, she needs to hear it again.
Yeah, there's 5 different love languages, and here's a book about it. Red Hot Monogamy. You might think that's an odd title, but it's a really good book. You should look into that one as well.
Speak in the language that your mate talks in. And get in the 5 love languages, and it'll tell you there's 5 love languages that speak. And find those out and speak those. You got to be intentional. Set that date night and keep it. Don't let anything take it away.
That's right.
So the last fill-in, dating, in a word, is pursuit.
It's pursuit. You know, I want to talk to you just a moment about that, and then we're going to pray and be dismissed. Again, the idea of the concept of pursuit in dating is somewhat apparent, but really the heart of it didn't originate in the mind of a man or a woman. The heart of this really originated from God. I want you to know this morning, even though we've been talking about some practical dynamics in the way that we as men and women date, whether we're single or are married, we've been talking about some practical insights and guidelines and those kinds of things, and there are some really beneficial and helpful things there. But I don't want you to think that we're just trying to figure out how to be better at what we do. I really want to make sure that everything we do stays focused on what does God have to do with that. And I want to bring to you a concept that maybe not as obvious to you, but if you spend time in the scripture with this perspective in mind, you'll see that all through history, God is pursuing people. God is pursuing him. Listen to this. This is Psalms 139, verses 7 and 8. I want you to listen to this from the context of God pursuing us. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go to the grave, you are there. In other words, everywhere I go, Lord, you're there. You keep pursuing me. I can never get away from your presence and who you are. All through history, we see this. And I want you to know in Scripture today that even though we've been working on these practical things that deal with the way that humans date each other, really the big issue is God is pursuing you.
Yeah.
God is still pursuing you. And life for you will be optimized when you enjoy the pursuit back. You know, dating is not one person pursuing one person. It's two people pursuing each other. Really, what we're talking about is a man pursuing God's plan in his life and the woman he's attracted to, the woman pursuing God's plan in her life and the man she's attracted to, both of them pursuing God and that dynamic relationship. And if you let the Holy Spirit bring this reality to you, you'll realize that God's idea was never religion. It always was and still is relationship. That's what God is really working on.
That's right.
God pursues us. Why? Because he loves us.
Yes.
I want you to know this morning that God loves you. I don't know what condition or what state of your life God brought you here today in, but God loves you. And right now, he is pursuing you. God's presence is drawing near to you to draw you to him. Why? Because he knows how life works and he wants the very best for you. It's true that there's an eternal component to this. But today what I really want you to focus in on is that we obey scripture because it's part of the way we pursue God back. Let God pursue you today. Respond to him. Let him in. Some of you in here today actually, in some ways, all of us should probably make some changes in the way we think about this. Whether we're married or whether we're single, all of us need to respond to the pursuit of God in our and his presence in our life. So as we're working to adopt some of the practices and ideas we've enjoyed studying together today, what I really want you to do is open your heart to Jesus. Because God's pursuing you. And the picture of Jesus on the cross giving his life away for you is the Bible says, this is how you know God loves us. While we're still sinning against him, he died for us. God wants to actually take his place in your life. And it's not because he's got an ego. It's because he knows how to lead your life in a way that's ultimately fulfilling for you. And today I'm going to ask that you would open your heart and let the pursuit of the Holy Spirit, the pursuit of the heart of God, find its way deeper in your life today. Can I pray for you this morning? Would you just bow your heads and let me pray? Heavenly Father, today, by the work of the Holy Spirit, I'm asking you would do what only you can do. I thank you that right now, God, you are pursuing us. All through history, God, we see evidence of the fact you're pursuing men and women. Today, God, we sense and feel that. I'm praying for men and women in this room today, Lord, who need to open their hearts and lives to you in a fresh new way. Holy Spirit, that you would give them the courage to acknowledge it and to choose that. For your glory, Lord, and their blessing. Right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I actually sense that there are many of us in this room today that need to make some decisions. You need to actually open your heart and your life to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm not going to just let you pursue me. I'm going to turn to you and pursue you back. I want you in the middle of my life. I'm tired of trying to just do what I think. I actually want you in the middle. Jesus, I want you to take lordship in my life, save me, and lead me forward. That's the decision you need to make today. And you say, well, I'm not sure if that's me or not. Well, here's one way you can know. How do you know where you stand with God? Are you good with God? Or do you live with him in the middle? Do you know where you stand with God? Do you know you're right with God? Are there question marks there? If any of those things are real for you, then today you need to make the decision and choose to follow Jesus. I would like to lead you in a simple prayer and give your heart words to say that are essentially a decision prayer. Right now I'm going to ask if you would think about this just for a moment. Am I at the place I need to decide to follow Jesus? Many of us are. If that's you, I'm going to ask in just a moment you slip your hand up and say, Pastor Dave, I'm making a decision today. I'm going to follow Jesus with my life. Some of you, this will be the first time you make that decision. Others, it's a recommitment. But today, you know it's a decision day. If that's you and you're ready to make a decision and follow Jesus with your life, you're ready to pray this prayer with me, just slip your hand up. I won't make you come to the front. I won't embarrass you in any way. Just slip your hand up and just let me know. Thank you. I see that hand. Who else? Who else? Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Who else? Who else? Thank you. I see that. Okay, you can put your hands down. I'd like for those of you that raised your hands, even if you didn't, let's all just pray this prayer out loud. Pray it with conviction from your heart and open your mouth and say this with me. Heavenly Father, today I thank you for your word and truth that shows me how much you love me. Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me for all of my sin, that you would wash me and cleanse me and make me new. Today, I'm turning my life over to you. I'm asking you to come in to the core of who I am, the very heart of who I am, and lead me forward as my God, my Savior, my Lord. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and the power I need to live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.